I apologize. I'm using that Bible I was given. I went to read with you folks, and I was a page over. I was in 1 Corinthians 7, and I didn't figure out how to read that part. Amen. As we were in 1 Corinthians 3. Well, last week, we started what I call kind of a bit of a mini-series here. I'm not sure how many messages it'll be. Maybe 3, 4, maybe 6. On growth. And we took our text from 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, where it says to grow in grace. And just by way of review, we talked about how life begins with God. Amen? Life begins with God. God breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. And we know, just scientifically speaking and scripturally speaking, that as soon as there is blood, there is life, and there's life in the womb long before the politician ever says so. Amen. And so, life begins with God, but our physical life on this side of the womb, it begins with birth, and after birth, it's natural that there is growth. Amen. And we talked about three things last week. We talked about the meaning of growing in grace. What does it mean to grow in grace? And we looked at Romans chapter 8, verse 29. It says that we're to be conformed into the image of His Son. Amen. And we're to grow in grace. We're to grow in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And if we're going to do that, we're going to have to be like Him. Amen. Try to be like Him in thought and in deed and action. Amen. So we talked about the meaning. Then we talked about the methods of growing in grace. There are some methods that God uses. And the first method He will use to grow us is the Bible. Amen. He'll use His Word. He'll use something that we don't necessarily like. He'll use trials to grow us. Amen. He'll use trials to draw us closer to Himself. He'll use private devotion time in the Word and in prayer. He'll use public worship to grow us. He'll use serving others. Amen. Serving in your local church. He'll use fellowship to help us to grow in grace. And He will use friendships. As iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Just some methods that God will use. And then we looked at the measurement of growth in grace. And we talked about, very important folks, God growing in the grace of God is not always measured on the outside. Amen? Now listen, I believe when you come to church, y'all look right. It's God's house. Amen? It's not the ball game, and it's not hanging out at the mall. This is God's house. You ought to look right. But just because somebody looks right on the outside doesn't mean they're growing in grace on the inside. Case in point, the Pharisees. They had it all together on the outside, and Jesus said, look, it's no good to shine up the outside of the cup if the inside is full of dead men's bones. Amen. And so it's not, the measure of growth is not the outside. The measure of growth is not other Christians. Listen, I'm glad for other Christians that I can look to. People that I trust and I lean on other Christians. But listen, the measure of growing in grace is not measured by other Christians. We dare not make ourselves among some who compare themselves with themselves and are not wise, 2 Corinthians 10 says. So the measure, what are some measures of growth? Well, appetite for the Word is one. We talked about that. Do we desire to get in God's Word and feast on it? We talked about love for God, love for one another, love for sinners is certainly a good measurement of growth. Something else, faith. Is our faith growing? Is our faith more than it was at this time last year or last week or last month? Are we growing in our faith and trust of the Lord? And we talked about knowledge, obviously, in God's Word, growing in the knowledge of God's Word and what He wants for our lives. And the last measure we talked about was a desire for holiness. Listen, folks, God is still holy. Amen? And listen, I'm not picking tonight, but it'd do us all well to just turn off the TV sometimes. There's not a lot of holiness on there. And boy, I want to preach, but I've got thoughts I need to get at here tonight. So we talked about a few things about growth. We're going to look tonight, just by way of introduction. We mentioned it. Growth is natural. Growth is natural. You have birth and then you have growth. Do me a favor. Hold your place here in 1 Corinthians 3 and go with me over to 1 John. 1 John chapter 2. It's a very interesting portion of Scripture here where you, I believe, you have three categories of Christians. And I believe if you looked at our growth, if you looked at our lives, you could break it down into three parts. You could break it down into infancy. You could break it down into adolescence. And then maturity. Amen. You have those three categories. Infancy, adolescence, and maturity. In 1 John chapter 2, verse number 12 and 13, we see these three groups. We see the first one there. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for His namesake. I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known Him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. You have the little children, you have the young men, and you have the fathers. Amen. There's a progression in life. You start with infancy, then you move to adolescence, then you move to maturity. The Bible says about Jesus in Luke chapter 2, verse 52, He grew in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. Jesus experienced a natural growth, and so should we. Amen. Growth is natural. Something else about growth, growth is nurtured. Do you know my kids would eat nothing but candy bars if I let them? They would eat nothing but candy bars. They really would. Eric's popping his head up right now. I have a candy bar, amen. But you know, if you're going to grow, it has to be nurtured. You know, there has to be proper diet. And there's going to have to be some exercise and proper schooling about nurturing growth in our in young people. And so growth is natural, growth is nurtured, but something else, growth can be negated. Growth can be stopped. Growth can be hindered. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, because that's the case in this church right here in Corinth. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, we have here the carnal Christians at Corinth. And verse 1 says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal." So here we are introduced to these Christians. We know they had a birth because they're Christians. Amen. They had the new birth. The term born again Christian, it's redundant. Every Christian has been born again. Amen. And so we know they had a birth. Marvel not that I say unto ye, ye must be born again. And we know that they began to grow. Why? Because Paul said, look, I fed you with milk. What does a baby want right away? Milk. Amen. Amen, Brother Tommy. Milk. Amen. That baby wants that. They eat and they eat and they eat. So there was a birth. There was initial growth, but they did not mature. Paul says, look, we've gotten to the point where you should be eating meat, but you're still eating milk. And the reason was they were carnal. They had stunted their growth. They had remained in infancy. And that's a sad thing. By the way, infancy is a beautiful time. Infancy is just... it's wonderful to see them as little babies, and many of you mothers and fathers, you can go back and picture your children as just little babies. Today we were sitting up here talking, and Pastor Donald put little Donald down, and he just looked at me, and he wanted to crawl, but he just couldn't yet because he's just a little infant, you know. And I thought about those wonderful times of infancy, but you know, wouldn't it be sad if little Donald was 30 years old and crawling? And not walking, and not talking, and not growing, and not doing the things. I want to talk to you tonight, if we could, in our second series on growth, on some indicators of infancy. Indicators of infancy. D. Stuart Briscoe made this quote, and it's a great quote. "The carnal person believes like a spiritual person, but acts like a natural person." That's what a carnal person does. They believe it up here, But they're outward. They're dealing with people. The way they conduct themselves like a natural person. I'll tell you about something that happened to me today. And I was very, very tempted to conduct myself as a natural person. Anybody ever been there? Usually on the highway. Amen. I came home today. Stopped home to pick up my wife. She was coming to help work on some of the youth rally stuff today. And she said, I got in the house. She said, honey, you're not going to believe this. I said, hit me. She said, the city of Jackson was just here on our property. And they grabbed the scripture sign and took it. They took it. And I said, oh, okay. And so I got on the, I told her, I said, what's the number over there? I stopped up to a truck and I said, we had a sign that was on our property and it was removed. And I want to know where it is. And I was about right here as far as acting like a natural person. Anybody, amen. Somebody say amen. I'm not the only one that would do that, amen. But I, you know what? Praise God. The Spirit of God got the victory, amen. I got on the phone and I was, amen. And I said, my name is Pastor Rich Savotsky. I live at such and such an address. One of your trucks just came by, walked on my property, took a sign off my property. And they gave me a very valid reason. They said there are people that go around and just randomly put them on people's yards. And I was asking her about it and stuff like that. And she said, well, we got a complaint from the city attorney's office about that sign. And again, if I wanted to be natural, I really could have, amen. I could have said, bless God, what are you doing on my property? And the Holy Spirit restrained me. Because then she said it was on the parkway. She said, which is between the sidewalk and the road. And I'll tell you what, Brother Horsch, I was still fired up. I was like, you mean the parkway I have to mow? Come on! You mean that sidewalk that I have to shovel, otherwise I get a fine, amen? Well, I wanted to be natural. But you know what it would have been for a pastor to be a carnal person to a lost person down at the DPW? I'll tell you what it would have been. It would have been an infant. It would have been an infant. And it would have made you look bad. It would have made this church look bad. It would have made me look bad. So you know what? We're just going to decide, hey, you know what? I want to be spiritual about this. Went down and the sign is back up on the right side of the sidewalk and it's right there. If anybody wants to complain about it now, they can complain because it's on my property. Indicators of infancy. What are some indicators? Let me give you five tonight. Some indicators of infancy that could be true in my life. They could be true in your life if we don't guard against it. The first indicator is immaturity. Immaturity is an indicator of infancy. Look at verse number 2 of 1 Corinthians 3. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye are not able to bear it. You show me an infant, and I will show you somebody that by nature is immature. Infants are immature in what they talk about. Amen. How many of you have ever made the baby talk? You know, you now you got grandkids, so it's perfectly legitimate. Amen. But when you have your own kids and they go, and you sit there and go, listen, that normal grown people don't talk that. I mean, I don't walk up to Steve Hendershot and say, amen. We don't do that. Amen. Why? Because we're mature. Hey, listen, you know, there's a lot of talk amongst infants, that's baby talk. You know, gossip is baby talk. Slander is baby talk. It's what infants do. Tearing down people, that's baby talk, amen? And it's a sign of immaturity. It's an indicator of infancy, baby talk. Not only talk, but thought. Go over just a couple pages to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians 13, the great love chapter, amen? Having trouble in your marriage, read this chapter together and pray Do it every night. Amen. It'll help you. It'll help you. 1 Corinthians 13, look at verse number 11. Not only immaturity in talk, but immaturity in thought. What's it say there? It says, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Can I say that the indicator of infancy, of immaturity, not only in talk, but in thought, always, always, always lends itself towards selfishness. That is what a baby is. They are the most selfish creatures you will... Listen, I know not your grandkids, but my kids are selfish little guys. Amen. They're selfish. And when they get to fussing and yelling and screaming, they just want their way. See, it's immature thought. It's always about them. Immature talk. How about immature things? It says there in verse number 11, when I became a man, I put away childish things. There's nothing so sad as seeing somebody in their 40s or 50s that's trying to be a teenager. I'm serious. You're going through your midlife crisis and you got your little convertible and your toupees flapping up in the air. Amen. You're not impressing anybody. Amen. You're not impressing anybody. Or you see some moms that are in their 40s and 50s trying to dress like a 16-year-old. It's a shame. It's a shame. It just shows immaturity. Immaturity of talk, immaturity of thought, immaturity in things. Number two, not only immaturity, but something else we see. If you go over to Hebrews chapter 5, an indicator of infancy is not only immaturity, but it's also irresponsibility. Irresponsibility. Hebrews chapter number 5, beginning in verse 12. And we see it's a very much a sister passage to our verses in Corinthians. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first, the principles, the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. We see not only immaturity, but we see irresponsibility. Irresponsibility in action is found in verse 12. I believe the Apostle Paul is the writer of Hebrews. I know the Holy Spirit wrote it all. But he's talking to these Hebrew Christians and he said, look, the time has come that you should be teachers. You should be teaching somebody. You should be teaching. But you won't. He didn't say you couldn't. He said you won't. Amen. And what's he saying there? They were irresponsible in their actions. They were not willing to accept or take responsibility. Does not irresponsibility sum up an infant? Listen, we try to teach our kids to pick up their toys. But I can tell where they have been sometimes, Brother Boston, by the complete lack of responsibility. And it looks like a bomb went off in our living room. Why is that? Because listen, infants are irresponsible in their actions. They're irresponsible. Something else, not only in action, but these Christians in Hebrews were irresponsible in their assimilation. Verse 13. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. You know, the word assimilation, it's a word that used to be used a lot in America. You see, when somebody came to America, we didn't used to have interpreters for every language to meet them at the courthouse. You see, you had to assimilate into America. You had to learn English enough to pass a citizenship exam. Now, there were many people that lived in Little Italy or Little Havana or Little Warsaw or whatever, and maybe they spoke. I think of my dear friend, Brother Fred Robles, Marissa's dad. He told me when he went into the school system, they wanted to put him in a Spanish-only class. And his father came down, his father Antonio, just the nicest guy. We call him Senor Robles. His father came down and told those teachers, he said, "Listen, you teach my son English. I could teach him all the Spanish he needs at home. You teach him English." You see, that was part of what it was to assimilate, folks. This one here, we see in verse 13 that these Hebrew Christians were irresponsible as they would not take the next step and assimilate. They wouldn't go from milk to meat. They just wanted to be fed. They just wanted to be fed. Folks, that's irresponsible. It's irresponsible to just eat, 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 and not grow. Irresponsibility. Inaction. Inassimilation. Inattention. Look at verse 14. "But strong meat belongeth unto them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." There was a tension to discern good and evil. You know, a baby doesn't know the difference between good and evil. They just don't know the difference. They don't discern the difference. And listen, ladies and gentlemen, as we grow in grace and we grow more like the Lord Jesus Christ, listen, we ought to be able to discern between good and evil. I got into a conversation this week about something that we've all heard about. We've all heard that this week, the president of the free world has declared that two people of the same sex ought to be able to get married in the United States and have all the benefits and privileges thereof. And I had somebody that talked to me about that, and they said they would never vote for somebody else. And I'm not telling you who to vote for. I'm just going to tell you how I look at issues like this. You see, I will not, with my vote, condone what God condemns. I'm not going to do it. And I believe any Christian that will is going to face God for that. You see? Because I'm not going to condone the murder of babies with my vote. I'm not going to contribute to one baby murdered with my vote. Not going to do it. And I'm not going to contribute to a lifestyle that God in His Word is clearly against. Just not going to do it. Amen? You know why? Because, listen, of full age and exercise to discern between good and evil. Listen, don't be irresponsible. Get in the book like God said we're supposed to. Amen? Get in the book. Learn what He says about a subject. Amen? Irresponsibility. Immaturity. Back to 1 Corinthians 3. The third thing we see here. We see inability. Inability. We see in verse 1, it says, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ." They were unable to discern. We talked about discerning, knowing the difference there. They were unable to discern. But then number two there, you see, "I have fed you with meat and not with," or milk and not with meat. They were also unable to digest. You see, a baby can only take milk. They can't take meat. Amen. You know, that first time that you gave your child a little son. I remember we used to give Luke stuff when he wanted to be like Eric, and they were both sitting in the high chair, and Luke was a chewer. Anybody have a baby that was a chewer? Not a swallower, just a chewer? And you just keep putting it in, and he just keeps grabbing it until his cheeks are about to pop off. But he's not digesting any of that. There we were when he got to this, and he turning purple. And you know what we had to do? We had to get in there, amen, and get it all out, amen, and then leave it on his plate. No, we didn't do that. No, why? Because babies, Not only can they don't have the ability to discern. They don't have the ability to digest. You know what else? Infants don't have the ability to really do anything. Do you know what an infant does? It cries until it gets its way. That's what an infant does. It cries until it gets what it wants. Inability, irresponsibility, immaturity. Number four, fourth indicator, incompatibility. Verses 3 and 4. For ye are yet carnal. By the way, Paul didn't pull any punches. He loved these Corinthians. They knew it. He didn't pull any punches. He says, you're carnal. You're a carnal bunch. And then he says this, for whereas there is among you envying and strife, boy, I'm going to look at that word strife in just a minute, and divisions, are ye not carnal, walk as men? For while one say, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not yet carnal? Incompatibility in personal situations. We've all seen an infant that should have had a sign on his forehead that said, does not play well with others. I mean, you walked over to him as an adult, and you how you doing, buddy? Hey, just whacked you in the head, amen, or just kicked you in the leg. I mean, we've all seen why. There's an incompatibility about infancy, not only in personal situations, but in party strife. Verse number 4 says, for while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? He said, why are you going around saying, well, I like this guy and I like this guy and we're divided because of this and this? He said, it's all about Jesus, not about this person. That word strife, it's an interesting word. I want to just do a quick word study here. Stay there in 1 Corinthians, hold your spot. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Just notice three or four instances where that word strife is used. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12 and verse number 20. Paul says, for I fear lest when I come I shall not find you such as I would, and that I shall be found unto you such as ye would not, lest there be any debates, envyings, wraths, strifes, backbitings, whispering, swelling, tumults. Paul worried that there was strife in this church. Go over, if you would, to Galatians chapter 5. Just a couple pages over, Galatians chapter 5. And you have a laundry list here of the works of the flesh, the sins of the flesh, beginning in verse number 19 of chapter 5. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and of such like, of which I tell you before and have told you also in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Go over to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 3. Philippians 2:3. Paul here is exhorting the church at Philippi to unity and toward humility and selflessness. And he says in verse 3, let nothing be done through strife or vain glory. James chapter 3. James chapter number 3. In verse number 13. See, there's not only incompatibility in personal situations, but there's incompatibility in party strife. Verse number 13 of James chapter 3 says, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthy, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there's confusion and every evil work. So there's incompatibility. By the way, have you ever seen two kids fight? Have you ever seen two? Listen, we have two boys. I'm ready to break out the video camera sometimes and just post them and quote these verses, amen. Oh, my baseball. No, I want it. It's mine. No, you can't have it. That's mine. And next thing you know, it's What is that? Strife. Strife. And it's an indicator of infancy. It's an indicator of infancy. A lot of churches, that kind of stuff is going on in the body. James says, earthy, sensual, devilish, and all God's people said, strife. Incompatibility, inability, irresponsibility, immaturity. Lastly, number five, instability. Instability. An infant is unstable. They're unstable in their living. Miss Katie's in here. Praise God. They said, Miss Katie put a post on the internet that says, Little Lincoln, was it five nights in a row? Praise God. Amen. And I'm glad for that. And all the mothers right now are rolling their eyes. Amen. Because they know there's coming a point where that stability is going to be broken. Amen. He's going to have a sickness or he's going to have something. Listen, that's just the nature of little babies. Amen. They're not stable. You can't say to a little baby, okay, I want you to go and work for 8 hours. Okay? Good. They look up at you. They're not doing it. Amen? There's not a stability there. Amen? Not only in living, but in believing. Ephesians chapter 4. Instability in living, instability in believing. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14 says, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. There's a whole faction of so-called Christianity. It's this wannabe cool Christianity. It's this jeans and a t-shirt and don't even have a pulpit anymore, where I'll tell you what the problem is. They're unstable. They get tossed about by every new fad that comes along. And the reason that they do that is because they're immature. They're infants. See, God says here, listen, there ought to come a time in your life that you're not like children anymore, that you know what the Bible says and you believe it. So immature, unstable, instability in living, instability in believing, instability in practicing. See, the Bible says in James 1:22, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. And then later on in James chapter 4, verse 17, it says, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So there's instability. There's incompatibility, there's inability, there's irresponsibility, there's immaturity. They're indicators of infancy. Now, what are cures for carnality? What are cures that'll lead us to come out of infancy and grow? What are they? Well, there's four real easy ones. First of all, a cure for infancy, a product for growth is good food. Amen? Good food. Good food will help you to grow. Listen, naturally, good food. You can eat junk food, and many people do. But if you want to grow and be healthy, you got to eat good food. Young people, I have to tell you this, you're going to have to eat some broccoli. Parents, that was your chance for the amen. Thank you. Now, and you can have some Doritos, too, because your pastor loves you. Amen. Listen, good food. You know what the Bible says? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Hey, you want to grow? You want to get out of infancy? Get in the book. Get in the book. Have some good food every day. And listen, just like regular eating, you don't just have to eat once a day. Hey, Brother Holy, I'm glad I can eat several times a day. I can go for breakfast, lunch, dinner, and occasionally a midnight snack right here. Amen? Hey, good food. Good food will help you to grow out of infancy. How about not only good food, but exercise? Exercise will help you grow. Galatians chapter 5, if you would. Galatians 5. How do we exercise, Pastor? How can we exercise our way? And by the way, you can eat good food and exercise your way right out of infancy, amen? Till you move into adolescence and you move into maturity, which is what God wants. He wants us to be mature. He told us He wants us to grow in grace, that we would grow to a point of maturity, amen? Verse number 16 of chapter 5. This I say then, Galatians 5:16, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Down to verse 24. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. How can I exercise daily? I'll tell you what. Put your spiritual foot on your throat of your flesh. And just keep pounding it. Amen. You say, what do you mean by that? Hey, walk in the Spirit. And you won't fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Listen, if you'll just walk in the Spirit, sin will not be the problem that it is in an infant's life. If they just walk in the Spirit. Just walk. Seek to be filled with the Spirit. Seek to have the love of Christ. Amen. Seek to have the mind of Christ. Seek to grow in grace just like He wants you to. You won't have to worry about sin. Oh, I'm not saying you'll be sinless, but you'll be sinning less. Number three. Not only good food, not only exercise. I like this one. Fresh air. Fresh air. Some of you know about that. Some of you live in the country. And you drive to church and you have several miles that you come. I'll tell you, I like the fresh air. I live in the city of Jackson. You know what that means? That's what it means. Amen. We live in town. The air's not so fresh in town. You get out in the country. You know what Matthew 26:41 tells us to do? It tells us about that fresh air that we need. Matthew 26:41 says, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The Spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. What's the fresh air, Pastor? It's a prayer time with God. It's just getting alone with God. And getting that fresh breath of the Holy Ghost of God, amen, as you seek Him in your blessed time of prayer, as you go to your closet. Good food, exercise, fresh air. Matthew chapter 11, lastly tonight. Matthew chapter 11. Some indicators of infancy are immaturity, irresponsibility, inability, incompatibility, instability. Some cures for growing out of infancy. Good food, exercise, fresh air. Last one is in Matthew 11, verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You know what else you're going to need if you're going to grow? You're going to need proper rest. You're going to need proper rest. Listen, I know teenagers think proper rest is 17 hours a day. That's what I thought it was when I was a teenager. No. But you can't burn the candle at both ends doing 4 hours a night or 2 hours a night and expect to grow. No. You need proper rest. You know who's the one we rest in? The Lord Jesus Christ. The Rock of Ages is the one we rest in. Amen. So here's the question. Are you growing? Are you growing? Or are you stuck or stunted in your growth? Here's what God wants. God wants us to get out of infancy and get to maturing. Amen? And growing. And then help somebody else to get out of infancy and to mature and grow. And then they can help somebody else get out of infancy and to mature and to grow. You see how it works? Amen? If we all will do that, oh, God will help us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father,